So I didn't know I was doing this until half an hour ago or so. So I guess that's what happens when you become an old coot in the field. So that's me. I thought I would just share with you some of my perspectives on the observations that we've heard discussed here today, and also more in general about what we're learning in the BE Star community. And first I want to address a question for the theorists. I heard the comment made that theory isn't keeping up with observation. And because I'm married to a theorist, I have to be kind to them. So I want to say that I think while it is true that there's a lot more work to be done in the theories, we are so much farther ahead today than we were some time ago in terms of the theory that we're actually beginning to finally make progress. And so I want to say to the theorists, thank you, because I think that's made a huge difference in what we're trying to do. Let me make a plea that for maximum effect, the codes and the theories need to be widely available, but also accessible to even us poor slob observers. So I liked Rich's comment about putting codes online, freely available, having summer schools. Let me remind you, we live in a really interesting age, and could we have things like online video tutorials and how to get started using some of these codes? I don't know. It's just an idea. And so I really want to commend that and say that I think that would be very helpful for us to be able to make better use of these kinds of codes. The question was asked, are BE stars relevant for the broader context, the broader picture? And those of us who write NSF proposals know we have to address these questions. We constantly get questions about BE stars and their relevance to the broader picture. I think we have to make a real effort to make the case, and I know people have been doing that. I think the question of how far does the phenomenon extend? So we heard about some possible OE stars, and there have been discussions about how far into the O stars does this extend. I think that's something we need to look at. Most importantly, what are the astrophysical questions that understanding BE stars better help us to address? And Stan touched on a lot of those in his talk in terms of where we can find common ground. But I think it's clear that it requires a very robust connection to star formation, to stellar evolution, to disk physics, and obviously to theory. Are improved observational effects and techniques having a real impact? Absolutely. You've really seen that at this meeting. And I was actually excited to see all of the different kinds of projects that people are doing. I think that new telescopes and new instruments are coming online. Interferometry has made a huge difference and is continuing to do so. And I think ALMA, of course, is going to really continue to revolutionize our understanding of that. I think polarimetry and spectropolarimetry are now being able to be used more widely as another diagnostic, and it's when we begin to put these pieces together, that's when we really begin to learn something. The most critical thing we can do is avoid looking at one particular observational data set and saying, I can explain that, because then you become the blind man and the elephant, or whichever part of the elephant you look at, you come up with a different description. We have to be looking at this as a coherent system. And I think that's very important. The long-term photometric variability from the MACHO surveys and the OGLE and MOST and CoWrote and all of those things, there are huge databases out there we should be taking advantage of, doing cross-referencing, because we have all of these lovely names that are coming out of all of these surveys, and We go talk to someone at a conference and we suddenly discover we're talking about the same star, but we've been using different names. So let's try to keep some commonality in terms of our definitions of which stars are which. I think the detailed spectral variability with pulsations and disk structure changes, the photosphere, those are key questions we have to address. The wide field surveys, but not just in the optical, but in other wavelengths as well, are going to be really key to this. The investigations of the cluster populations, I think, are going to be really important for trying to get better statistics. And I'll touch back on that in a second. And I was really intrigued about the high energy results, because I think that's an area that has been sort of toyed with, but I think not in a serious way. And obviously, there are diagnostics there that we can get out. Observers always say more data are needed. So I'm going to say more data are needed. But I think that's true. Also, I should say that more data have been obtained and have, in fact, helped us. The surveys, I think, hold the best promise for the future. Long-term monitoring is obviously very important for these variable stars. The time scales we don't understand well. The statistical information is very important. I think the neat thing is there is still a role for smaller telescopes with dedicated instruments to do these kinds of long-term monitoring projects that are going to be so critical. And actually, that means there's also a room for dedicated amateur groups, and they're already contributing, especially in our field. What's still missing? I was asked if I had the perfect telescope up there in the sky that I could make do anything I wanted, what would I want? I would want all stars observed at all wavelengths with all techniques all the time for about the next million years or so. Okay? Since I'm not going to get that, I think it's fair to say that we do need more complete and better contemporaneous observations. We have to be aware that we're dealing with stars that vary, and so if you're taking data from two different epochs, you need to keep that in mind. They may not have been in the same state the two times that you observed it. One of the things that I think is missing is a robust, long-term infrared variability study. Not just photometry, but also spectroscopy. We have a several years worth of SPECS data, and it's very clear that the infrared infrared hydrogen lines vary, but they vary differently than what we're seeing in the optical, and we're actually probing different parts of the disk there, so that's helpful in trying to look at disk structure and how it varies within the disk. So I think that's a key thing. Long-term variability data in clusters in multiple wavelengths. Detailed spectroscopic follow-up for these candidates we're finding in the clusters, and I know people are already starting to work on that. I just want to emphasize that's really important. And one of the things I was sad to think about was the fact that, you know, IUE data was referenced many times, and there's a lot of great IUE data in the archives. The question is, how are we monitoring stellar winds in these things these days when we have no UV capabilities? I think we as a community need to be advocating for new UV capabilities. We don't have it right now, and it's a missing piece that's really important. So I'll give you my bottom line. I think we need to keep in mind that what is our ultimate goal? We're looking to give real physical explanations for that's the common goal. That is, we want to understand this disk physics, we want to understand the stellar astrophysics, and that's what we should all be working toward, whether we are physicists whether we are theorists or observers. No pun intended. This requires a multi-wavelength, multi-technique approach, preferably as contemporaneously as possible, and that's hard. We have to focus on the common characteristics and timescales rather than the weirdos. Everybody's got their favorite star that they like to talk about and say how weird it is. But if we aren't getting at the common underlying baseline, we can't understand the outliers. So we really need to focus on that. I think we need to make sure that theory and observation go hand in hand, informing each other. That is, the observation should be testing the theory and also providing input to what we should be looking at the theory, and theory should be providing us with information about what we should be looking at and what we should be looking for. We need to break down silos. We need better crosstalk between different areas of stellar astronomy, other wavelength regimes, disk physics, and so on. And I'm going to just throw something out, and this is more for the OC, for the organizing committee for the BE Star working groups, or variable massive stars. Should the BE Star newsletter be morphing into a BE Star blog for when we have more rapid communication, conversation, posting of ideas, and things like that? I'm thinking in terms of, if those of you are familiar with Astro Better, I'm thinking of something like that. Do we need a BE Better? Just a thought. Thanks.